Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Yes, it is already February. Is that a good thing? I'm not so sure that's a good thing. I'm not sure I'm ready for February just yet. And you know, this last weekend, kind of started to feel that pinch, didn't we? Kind of started to feel that void where football had been. I know there's some other things going on. Now I've got some college hoops. Got some NBA, I guess. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Got some NHL. Got a couple other things going on out there. And yet that big void where football was, man, I felt that deep. Saturday, no games. Sunday, no games. No, I didn't turn on the Pro Bowl. No interest in that. I'm not sure who did. But you are starting to feel that pinch. It is that time of year. Hey, either way, we are now halfway to another weekend, and I hope your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, you're all staying strong and you're all staying healthy right now. Hey, remember just real quick, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every single week. Check on what is going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the videos. We have links to new articles that go up. And yes, I did put out a new article this week about the Dallas Mavericks. You might want to go check that out. Plus, you can always email the podcast at dailydosports@gmail.com. We do hear from some listeners. We would always like to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. Hey, today on the Daily Dose, it is Super Bowl week, and it is a big one. Super Bowl 59 is coming on Sunday. And hey, this is just too big of a task for me to tackle by myself. I will be joined by Daily Dose I-Team President Big Rob. We will be breaking down Super Bowl 59 as only we can. We will have our picks. We will have our predictions. And we'll even give you a little sports betting advice. Hey, it's all free. It's all included right here. In fact, we have so much to get to. We better jump in right now. Joining us on the Daily Dose right now is Daily Dose I-Team President and resident Philadelphia Eagles fan to break down Super Bowl 59. It's going to be taking place this Sunday. Big Rob, your Eagles have made it all the way to another Super Bowl. I got to ask, are you doing the Super Bowl party? Are you keeping it low-key? What do you got going this weekend?
I haven't decided. It's going to be between a party and keeping it at home. You know, since it's my actual team in the bowl, you know, I kind of just want to stay at home and just, you know, just watch it myself. But like I said, might go party last minute. So we'll see.
See, every time, and this is just me, but every time the Broncos go to the Super Bowl and go to a party, they'd get beat. I'd stay at home and just be like, nope, I'm just shutting it all out. I don't want to hear the nonsense. I just want to be, they'd win. And so I have really mixed feelings because you want to be around people. It's kind of, you know, you want to enjoy it if they win. And at the same time, there's considerations. Because you also might have some obnoxious fans there.
Yeah, that's true. So like I said, yeah, if they do win, obviously, you know, you get to celebrate with a bunch of people. But like I said, the parties I'm thinking about going to, I know there's going to be some Chiefs fans there. And if it doesn't go the right way, you know, that's going to be a even worse ending to the evening. So
yeah, that makes it difficult. And there always seems like there's a few idiots there. Not to mention just the fact, typical Super Bowl party, when you have the crowd running in for the commercials and running out for the game, okay, I'm out. I can't hang. I can't do it anymore. Rob, I hate to change the subject. We're going to get to the Super Bowl. We're going to get to the NFL, but we have to discuss this. This week, we saw one of the most surprising trades in NBA history as the Dallas Mavericks sent 25-year-old superstar Luka Doncic to the Lakers for glass man Anthony Davis. Rob, is this the worst trade since Joe Biden traded the Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner? Like, what is going on? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand either how it goes, especially from the Dallas side. From the Lakers, you know, I can understand what you're doing there. But yeah, from the Dallas side, like I said, I've seen a bunch of rumors. I don't know what's actually true. Like, they just wanted, you know, Luka out of there, like not even a basketball situation, but just for whatever reason, we don't want Luka here anymore. But even that way, I mean, I still think there could be a better trade, or if you're shopping, you know, actually shopping. But yeah, from the Dallas side of things, that's pretty questionable to me.
You bring up a great point of that didn't shop. it sounds like they called one team. What will you give us? Okay, that's what we'll do. Now, there are rumors out there that maybe Luke was having some kind of an affair with the wife of someone in the front office. Someone might want to, you know, warn Jay Moore, because we all know Jeannie Buss. She's not afraid to mix it up a little bit. So you might want to be careful there. But Rob, they say that the Mavericks were worried that, you know, he was due a Supermax deal and he wasn't in good enough shape. Okay, then fire every single person in charge of keeping him in shape. Like, you don't just can the guy. And by the way, the next guy he outjumps or outruns is going to be the first. He's not that guy. If he's 400 pounds, who cares? I don't get it. They just made the move to make themselves the dumbest franchise on the planet. Why wouldn't you shop him and see what offers are out there? You might have got something good.
Yeah, like you said, and even if the rumors are true, you still got to shop him. Like I said, yeah. Why is it just Lakers, just AD? Like, that's just... doesn't make sense to me. Like I said, Lakers standpoint, you know, that I understand it from that standpoint, you know, getting a 25 young guy. And that part is also interesting as well, just from the Lakers side, kind of moving LeBron out. I mean, I think that's interesting. Again, if you go back and forth, if you believe LeBron was completely blindsided or did he know? But if you think about it, I mean, this is kind of the first time where like LeBron really isn't the focus, you know, and when you fast forward to them playing together, I mean, Luka's got to have the ball, right? So it's just
right.
LeBron's like just, you know, the off guard now. Like, he doesn't touch the ball as much. So that kind of changes, you know, the way LeBron's played over the years as well. So that's also kind of interesting too.
Yeah, very good point. Because there's only one basketball. I look at the Lakers and I say they're definitely probably better in some ways. And also, they don't have a rim protector anymore. So you're soft in the paint. You've got playmaking ability galore, but you only have one basketball. So I don't know that it instantly makes the Lakers like a title contender to me. I look at them and say, they're kind of about the same as they were. They just kind of move some pieces around. I don't know. Maybe they're going to be better defensively. The next time LeBron and Luka play really hard on defense will probably be the first. So I don't know that I'm really buying into that anyway. What a weird situation. I will say this. One move I did like, San Antonio Spurs. Go out and get a nice player in De'Aaron Fox. Complimentary. I wish he could shoot it a little bit, but you want to help Wemby be a better player. They went and got somebody. I kind of like what the Spurs did over what anyone else did, if I'm being honest. I know it's a huge move, you know, with Luka going to LA, but I kind of like what the Spurs did.
Yeah, especially, like I said, I don't know if that how that affects this season, but then again, you know, from a long-term standpoint, yeah, that's definitely, you know, a good piece to have with Wemby there for sure.
Yeah, he's going to be special eventually if he can stay healthy, because that he's just got a skill set we haven't seen. Okay, I'm not going to waste any more time talking NBA. Nobody watches it anyways. Let's jump in to Super Bowl 59. The Kansas City Chiefs were the number one seed. They had a 15-2 record. One of those games was a throwaway game. And then in the playoffs, they beat the Houston Texans. They beat the Buffalo Bills. And while they are scraping out tight wins, they also seem to be heating up right at the right time. For the first time this year, the Kansas City Chiefs offense finally broke 30 points against Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. They always come up with clutch plays when they have to have them on both sides of the ball. We're going to get into this a little bit closer, but looking at KC right now, yes, they squeak out tight games, but they kind of seem like they're warming up right when they want to.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, the whole season really just kind of squeaking out things. But yeah, over these playoffs, it seems a little, even though the games have been, you know, it's kind of close, they do seem to be kind of gelling at the right time. I would definitely say they're, you know, playing their best football right now, which is, you know, obviously what you want to be doing.
Absolutely. The Philadelphia Eagles, meanwhile, they are the number two seed. They had a 14-3 record. They beat the Los Angeles Rams. I think that's a better win than maybe they get credit for. They beat the surprising Washington Commanders. Hey, the Eagles are an old school football team. They're good on the offensive line. They're good on the defensive line. They look to dominate the line of scrimmage. And when you have a home run hitter like running back Saquon Barkley, hey, he can score on literally any play. The Eagles can beat you in a number of different ways. I think this is probably the best matchup we really could have asked for, if I'm being honest.
I would agree. I think roster-wise, Eagles probably have the best, had the best roster this year. Yep. And then obviously, you know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're the Kings right now, so you got to beat them. So, yeah, I think so. I think other variations could have been interesting, but probably the two best teams, unbiased opinion, was probably the Eagles and the Chiefs.
I would agree. You wish you'd have seen everybody at full strength, but that's not how this works. And so you take what you can get, but I think if we're just talking, hey, take the two best teams, I think we probably have it. Okay, Rob, we got to get it on the table. We got to talk about it. We've been talking about it now for like 3, 4, 5 years. The Kansas City Chiefs get more calls from the officials than any team I have ever witnessed. Now, personally, I believe it is because the Chiefs are in so many close games. It feels like the refs can swing the game because the game is always so tight. Rob, what is going on? Are these games fixed? What is happening?
I don't know. I'm not going to go as far as saying that they're fixed. But yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of it is just the close games. And yeah, I think there is just a couple, just like the Mahomes, I don't know if you call it an aura or what, yeah. But just him specifically seems like he could, you know, especially like the rough and the passer, the calls, seems like a lot of those seem to go his way. You know, anything close, I think just the refs kind of, I don't even know if they're doing it on purpose, but seem to kind of lean Chiefs way for whatever reason.
Hey, Jalen's not going to get those calls. Lamar doesn't get those calls. Josh Allen doesn't get those calls. No, you're right. Patrick Mahomes gets those calls. I don't know exactly why, but I will stop short of saying, hey, the NFL is scripted. It's fixed. Hey, let's be real clear. Second Vegas takes a bath on one of these games on a bad call, Mahomes is going to get hurt. So it's all going to be over then. So I'm not going to buy that stuff. I think that's silly. I understand it, but when you're in that many one-score games, it looks like they're swinging things, and I get it. I don't think you are. If it was being dictated, it wouldn't be on the books in Vegas, and it is. Okay, let's drill down on exactly how this game is going to go. The Eagles have been deemed the home team. They'll be wearing their green jerseys. I know that didn't make you happy. The Chiefs will be wearing their white road uniforms. Rob, the Chiefs are not a great rushing team. They manage about 105 yards per game, but it's very opportunistic when they run the ball. They keep you off balance. They try a mix of Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. But the most dangerous rushing option to me is when Patrick Mahomes picks his spots and picks up valuable yardage. You know, the Eagles' defensive line, they've been pretty good against the run. They've allowed about 104 yards per game all year, but they've gotten much better in the playoffs. Because of Mahomes, I would say when the Chiefs run the ball, this is pretty even. I would list it at about even. If one side gains an advantage either way, it will be big, but I would call this a draw when the Chiefs run the ball, offense and defense. How would you judge when the Chiefs run the ball? Who do you give advantage to?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the Chiefs as well. Okay. I agree with what you said, especially about Mahomes. And I think we've seen later in the season, we've actually seen a couple design runs where obviously during the season, Andy Reid less likely to do that. But in this game, you know, a winner takes all. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, actually a couple few design runs for Mahomes. And again, not the type of, you know, not the Josh Allen run it up the middle type, but, you know, the bootleg come around, you know, try to pick up a few. And also with that Philly line, you know, I think he's going to be forced to run a couple times because they can bring, you know, get to him without blitzing and just, you know, naturally he'll be stepping up in the pocket and try to, you know, scramble for a few. In those cases, I do hope someone actually hits him. I know you mentioned this last week. For whatever reason, when he scrambles, it seems like people are afraid to touch him. But if he does scramble, yeah, I hope, you know, we can get a good solid hit on him at least.
In his career, I've never seen him really get hit. It's weird to me. I don't know why. I don't know why guys pull up. Hey, if I'm going to get 15, I'm going to earn them.
Earn it. Yep.
Yeah. And that is kind of weird to me that it hasn't happened. Let's switch over to when the Eagles are running the ball. Philadelphia Eagles are one of the top rushing offenses in the NFL. Hey, with the explosion that Saquon Barkley has, the offensive line, and it kind of gets forgotten. Quarterback Jalen Hurts, he's looked pretty good in the playoffs. He looked really good against Washington. The Chiefs defense has at times shown a little bit of vulnerability here. They allowed Texans running back Joe Mixon nearly 90 yards. They gave up James Cook for the Bills nearly 90 yards. This isn't either one of those. This is way, way, way better. This rushing game is way more dangerous. Hey, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you have to run the ball and keep running the ball. You can eat possession. You can keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. I give the advantage to the Eagles. The key for me is how big of an advantage will it be when they run the ball? How would you judge this matchup?
Yeah, I'm going to say big advantage to the Eagles, and mainly because of that offensive line. Like you said, they can just, the push that they get, I can't remember the stats off the top of my head right now, but Barkley, before first contact, has already picked up 3-4 yards. And like I said, once he gets ahead of steam, if he, you know, shakes somebody, you know, like you said before, he can take it all the way to the end zone. And then similar with, like I said about the Chiefs, I think we see more design runs from Hurts. So in that thing, you know, when they're running it, you know, that bootleg around the side, you know, Hurts is, again, not necessarily probably known as a mobile quarterback, but I mean, I think he can move, you know, more than people think. It's not just the tush push. You know, he can get on the edge and you know, pick up some yards as well.
Yeah, he can. And he's more dangerous than people kind of give him credit for. I know he kind of sometimes gets pushed back, maybe passing wise, doesn't throw it down the field as much as maybe some people want. But just like in that Washington game, how many times did you see that play action roll out and then him making plays with his legs and with his arm? That could be very, very dangerous. Hey, don't forget, Jalen Hurts did have a good Super Bowl the last time against the Chiefs. It wasn't on him. Didn't always get the help he wanted or whatever, but he had a pretty good game that day. So we will both go advantage Eagles when they are running the ball. Let's switch over to the passing game. The Chiefs passing game is such a confusing aspect to me because on paper, it looks like it should be highly explosive. Mahomes has tight end Travis Kelce. He's got speedy Xavier Worthy. He's got Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins. And yet, aside from Kelce and Worthy, a few of these guys have kind of been no-shows all year. Having said that, when a big play is needed, Travis Kelce is always wide open. And Mahomes, he just finds ways to make plays. Now, the Eagles' pass defense is interesting. They can give up yardage at times, but they do usually get stops when they have to. The unique thing to me about the Eagles' defense is they can generate pressure with just four guys. Jalen Carter is a monster. I give him a shot at winning the MVP this game. They can blitz, but they don't have to. And they force turnovers. The Chiefs have to find a way to move the ball against this defense passing. I'll give Kansas City a slight advantage because of Mahomes. Can the Eagles stop Kelce? I think that's going to be a key to this game. Rob, how do you look at the Chiefs passing game against the Eagles passing defense?
Yeah, I agree again. Slight edge, and just because it's Mahomes, one, and two, just Andy Reid, you know, off the bye, 2 weeks to play call. So just some of the things he calls, like you think about that Bills play in the Bills game, the play that sealed that wide open back coming out the thing. So between Mahomes is Mahomes, and like I said, Andy Reid play calling, they'll do enough to get people open. You know, a lot of those short passes, you know, big plays down the field, I think we'll be okay stopping those. But like I said, I think Mahomes will be able to move the ball, maybe not consistently, but, you know, enough to, you know, pick up first downs and put some points on the board.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think this is going to be a big aspect of the game. If the Eagles can stop the Chiefs running game, they can limit Mahomes, you know, with his legs. He's going to have to make some plays with his arm. And we haven't always seen these wide receivers show up. I mean, when you think about guys like, you know, Juju and DeAndre, you're like, where have they been all year? Like, they haven't really done that much this year. I think this is going to be a fascinating aspect to watch. Okay, let's move over. The Eagles passing game is based fully on their run game. They want to run it and run it and run it and then go play action and let Jalen Hurts come up with big plays. If he does, he's got some weapons. Tight end Dallas Goedert, clutch, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, they're big, big playmakers. Hey, if Philly comes out and they get a few big plays in the passing game, look out. But this Chiefs defense is one of the best. They disguise coverages. They're going to try to stop the run. They're going to try to put pressure on Hurts, and they're going to try to confuse Hurts and see if they can get him to do something dumb. I'm going to give a solid advantage to the Chiefs defense here. Hurts has to play mistake-free football if the Eagles are going to win this game. How would you judge the Eagles passing game against the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm going the other way here. Going to go Eagles have the advantage. Just the wide receiver room, I mean, between the two, I don't even think it's clear. 100% Eagles. Like you said, Hurts is going to have to, you know, not get baited into anything. And another point, too, they have to stick with the run. You know, if they happen to get down early for whatever reason, I know a lot of teams abandon that and try to get into throwing it with Mahomes. But like I said, it's a run first team. You got to stick with the run. You got great receivers. You know, Brown is a guy, just a one-on-one jump ball you can throw to Smith in the slot. And then Goddard, I think, is going to be a big part of this. We'll probably get into this later. But that's a guy. Chiefs have had trouble with tight ends during the year. So I think that's a guy that can be big, especially, you know, to counter the blitzes, that sure. quick throw over the middle. So I'm going to give the advantage to the Eagles here. I think Hurts can play mistake-free football. And like I said, hopefully over this time, they've schemed up a little bit better and they'll be able to do the best they can against those blitzes that, you know, we kind of know are coming, even though they are disguised, but you kind of know when he's going to blitz.
Well, and Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best in the business, most maybe decorated defensive coordinator ever. He likes to show things and then change it at the last second. He's trying to confuse those quarterbacks. Hurts is not a rookie. He's been here before. He's been in this game before. I would hope he comes out and is very well prepared, knows what he's going to see already. Like I said, if he doesn't make any big mistakes and you just take care of the football, it's going to be real interesting. It's going to be real interesting because Philly matches up pretty well in this game. Okay, let's go over to special teams, because the special teams aspect of this game to me is very, very tight. Both teams have solid kickers. The Chiefs have Harrison Butker. The Eagles have Jake Elliott, but they have both struggled a little bit if you get beyond 50 yards. So I don't know that either one of them is this big leg. Hey, he can hit it from 60. I don't know that they really have that on either team. Both the Eagles, Kenneth Gainwell, and the Chiefs, Nico Remigio, have proven to be dangerous, at least returning kicks, when given the opportunity. We know the kickoff game is always kind of weird. The Chiefs have Mecole Hardman. The Eagles have Cooper DeJean sometimes returning punts. Both of those guys are capable of making plays. Chiefs punter Matt Areza and Eagles punter Braden Mann, to me, they're almost exactly the same. This is another, to me, just draw. If you had a big play out of special teams, advantage whoever gets it. But I think this is very, very tight. How would you look at the special teams game?
Yeah, pretty close to me as well. I'm going to give a slight edge to the Chiefs just because overall coaching. I just think the coaching staff top to bottom. So if there's somebody's cooking up something in the lab this week or over the past 2 weeks, probably the Chiefs. I give them a nod just based on the coaching staff overall, but this is really pretty close to me. I could see either team having a big play on special teams.
Yeah, it's very tight. Okay, let's look at coaching. Speaking of the coaches, I will give a decided advantage in the coaching department to the Chiefs, Andy Reid. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He's ate it all. He's been in so many big games. Having said that, at times, Andy can get a little too cute for my taste. Line up and play. You don't have to play a game of ring around the rosy or whatever it is you're doing. Just snap the ball. Half the time, those cute plays they run don't even work. Now, I am reasonably sure that Eagles coach Nick Sirianni was the kid in Elf. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. But after a stumble in his first season, he's been pretty good. Now, maybe he gets involved in silly stuff with the crowd or whatever too much, but he's made the right moves as of late. Remember, he's been here before. The Eagles lost to the Chiefs 2 years ago by a field goal in a very tight game. I'll give an advantage to Chiefs. I won't make it a runaway because I think Sirianni might be a little better than we're thinking. How do you look at this coaching matchup?
Yeah, I agree with you here. Got to go Chiefs. I think a distinct advantage. Andy Reid off a bye with extra time, like 8-2 or something like that off the spread, against the spread. And then also, I think the Fangio numbers against Andy Reid are not great at all. No. So that's a little concerning. But again, 2 weeks to prepare. Obviously, it's a good staff. You know, they've made it this far. So I think they'll be relatively prepared here. So slight edge, or I say a decent edge to the Chiefs, but I don't think it's a complete coaching mismatch here.
No, I don't either, because Sirianni has proved he can hang with Andy, and he did fine the first time. We'll see if he can do any better this time. I think his team might be a little bit better, actually, this time, but we'll see. We'll see how that rates out. We're going to come back to our picks in just a minute. You can kind of get an idea of which way we're leaning, maybe by how we look at this breakdown so far, but we're going to get back to our final prediction. And before we do, we know that the Super Bowl is the biggest betting day of the year. And the Big Rob is a guy that has a fair amount of success when betting. Rob, we have a few prop bets. I want to get your opinion on these. Of course, the Chiefs are favored by a very slight 1.5. If I'm being honest, I think that should probably be flipped. I think Philly should probably be the 1.5 favorite, but that's me. The over-under is 48.5 points. Interesting as well. But Rob, are there any prop bets that you're looking at that just might be easy money? You're looking at and go, man, I think that is an easy way to make some money. What should listeners be looking at? I'm going to throw some money down on this. I might just pick up some easy money right now.
Yeah, probably the biggest one, parlay, which I don't like to play a lot of those. Obviously, yeah. The more you need everything to go right. But I think a fairly safe one, like a Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and then either throw in Kareem Hunt or Xavier Worthy. So three-person parlay. So each of those three players scores a touchdown. You can get a decent money back on that. And then we mentioned Goddard before. That's another one. I think his yards total is sitting around 50 last time I checked. Again, that's a guy, if you think the game's kind of going to go that way where they're blitzing and he's picking up yards over the middle, Goddard over on yards could be another prop bet I'm liking so far.
Yeah, you know, I like the Patrick Mahomes at 31 and a half rushing yards. I think he could go out and get 34 yards and not really break a sweat doing that. But we've got an expert here. We've got a guy that knows betting. And I ask Rob a lot of times, you know, some opinions on betting. You might know I'm not really a sports bettor, but a lot of people ask me for sports betting advice. Well, many times I lean on Rob because Rob knows far more about this stuff than I do, as usual. You're not going to give us the money if you win. So don't complain at us if you lose. We're just giving you some advice. Rob, I've got a few prop bets here I want to get your opinion on. I want to see what you're thinking on these. First and foremost, one of the most popular things to bet on is the national anthem. The over-under on the national anthem this year is 120.5 seconds. 120 and a half seconds is the over-under. New Orleans singer, songwriter, and instrumentalist John Batiste will be performing the Star Spangled Banner. Hey, the length of the anthem at 120.5. Just for reference, last year, Reba McEntire went through it quick, 94 seconds. What do you think? Batiste going to go short? Is he going to, you know, have like a Fergie at the NBA All-Star game a few years ago? What are we going to have here on the anthem? Got a feel on this one?
Yeah, I say you go over on this one. New Orleans guy, hometown. Yeah. Just the mood catches up with him and he drags on a little longer than maybe he rehearsed. So give me an over on this one.
No, you're right. I like that. First touchdown to be scored. The favorite to score the first touchdown is, of course, Eagles running back Saquon Barkley. He's at a minus 185, followed by Jalen Hurts at a minus 115, and then Travis Kelce at a plus 130. Would you go anywhere near this one, or is that just too much to kind of guess at?
Yeah, personally, I stay away from the first touchdowns. I'd rather just bet an actual touchdown at any time. Then you don't have to worry about it. But a little advice, yeah, if you are going to bet on this, again, this is something you kind of want to play out in your head. Who you think gets the ball first? Right. Are they able to drive down and get into scoring range? So that's kind of, you know, how, if I was going to play, that's kind of how I decide. Yeah. Who. And in this case, I would, you know, Eagles. So I would pick an Eagle for that. And maybe like a long shot, maybe like a Goddard instead, just because you never know. On the first touchdown, but I think the Eagles are going to score first and get out early. So I would even take a long shot on maybe like Smith or Goddard for the first touchdown.
Okay. One thing that you can place a prop bet on, and one of the more one of the bets that gets a little bit of action is the first song of halftime. Of course, hip hop artist Kendrick Lamar will be headlining halftime. He will be joined by special guest SZA, who at one point did date Drake. Of course, we know Lamar and Drake have a little bit of an ongoing feud going, but there is that prop bet. What will be the first song performed? Of course, Humble is the leader to plus 160, Not Like Us at a plus 195. Not sure if you want to go anywhere near that. There is also a prop bet as to who could join Lamar and SZA on stage. Tyler, the Creator, is a leading candidate, although he's out on tour right now. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Baby Keem, Lil Wayne, Future, they're all possibilities. To me, the sneaky pick here would be Diddy to plus 9,000, but I don't know if you have anybody out there that you'd be thinking might join Kendrick on stage.
No, I'm not sure about this one. Yeah, I know. I definitely wouldn't play Not Like Us as the first song. I think that either is a closing or in the middle.
You gotta save that, don't you?
To get everything picked up in the middle, or that's what you close it out with. Yeah, and as far as someone joining, like I said, I'm not sure. Ideally, it would be Lil Wayne, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I don't have a good one for that.
I don't either. Kanye's got his hands full clearly, too, as well. The Gatorade Bath is a classic Super Bowl tradition for the winning head coach. It's also one of the most popular exotic prop bets. you know, the last few years, over the past 15 years, orange has been the most popular color of Gatorade used 5 different times. Orange leads the way, but it's being caught up to by blue, clear, purple. They've all got a few as well. It's worth noting, though, that Gatorade for the past 3 years has been purple. So maybe they're going to go that way. Since the Chiefs have won the past 2 years, that's something to think about. Would they go, you know, with a red Gatorade? Would they go with, you know, their team color? Would they go with something different? But any chance the Chiefs dump gravy on Andy Reid? I'm just saying. And if so, is it light? Is it dark? There's a couple of different ways you can go with gravy, but I think that would be a moneymaker. If you pick that and it comes through, you're getting paid.
Gravy, or what is it? The mayo bowl? Is that another one? Maybe the mayo have some leftover. Got some leftover mayo from that bowl. So maybe they use that.
They have to have some because they had a lot of mayo in that stupid bowl. Of course, if the Chiefs are involved, Taylor Swift is going to be shown on TV. I don't want to see it, but we know we're going to. The current over-under on the number of times Taylor Swift is going to be shown on the television broadcast is 14,250. That seems low to me, Rob. Is that low? That seems low.
Yeah, that's low. You have to go over on this one. I'm betting you. I mean, they do it over the top on Sunday Night Football for the Super Bowl. It's that's easy money right there.
You gotta take it over. 15, easy. Easy. The last prop bet we will discuss is going to be the officiating. We brought it up already. I hate to bring it up again, but we're going to have to. The head ref for this game, Ron Torbert, veteran ref. He's been assigned to officiate his second Super Bowl in 4 years. During the 2024 regular season, this year, his crew averaged 16 penalties, almost 17 penalties per game total. Third highest in the NFL. However, that changes in the postseason. That drops down to like 9 per game, and that is just kind of a trend across the board. When you get in the playoffs, when you get in the Super Bowl, they usually let them play. In his last Super Bowl, Super Bowl 56, Torbert and his crew called 6 penalties. They allowed him to play. Now, on average, Chiefs average 5.4 penalties per game. That's accepted. You'd think that would probably go down a little bit. Over-under on flags thrown against Kansas City is going to be 4.5. So that is down a little bit. Interesting bet if you want to go over-under. Eagles averages 5.9 penalties per game. Over-under on flags against them on Sunday, 27.5. So I don't know if you want to go with... Again, I'm not telling you how to spend your money. I'm just saying that line is interesting. 27.5. Rob, I might have to go over again.
Yeah, on this one, I think you even wait till halftime and get that halftime number because they're going to need to tighten it up in the second half. So I think you hold off on this one before pregame and halftime you come in and take the over because they're going to have to keep it close.
No, you're right. You're exactly right because they're going to play it down. They're going to let them play. And then 8 seconds in the game, we're going to see roughing the passers. We're going to see holding calls. We're going to see pass interferences. Hey, I know everyone's giving me grief. Everyone has said, you said from the beginning, Chiefs are going to get all the calls. They're going to go all the way. And I've said it since the beginning of the year in August. Chiefs are going to win this thing. They're going to get a little friendly help.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
Okay. Rob, let's break it down. Big, big prediction right here. Paint me a picture. How is this game going to play out? Who is going to come out on top Super Bowl 59?
Yeah, so I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I think the Eagles score first. They get the lead. I think they hold the lead all game. Never feels comfortable, but they're feels like they're in control. Fourth quarter, things start to tighten up, as we mentioned. Maybe a couple more flags here. I've got the Chiefs driving to go ahead for a go-ahead score. 2 minutes left in the game, so we have a nice close one. Flag on the play, and everyone thinks, oh, God, here we go.
Here we go again.
But it's actually a holding call against the Chiefs. Lose it on downs. So controversy we have. The Eagles win it on a flag. Chris Jones is crying after the game. Mahomes is upset. Obviously, they're complaining about the referees and flags, which the irony of that is going to be incredible.
I would just be just cutting it up and eating it.
Yeah.
It would be delicious.
Yeah. So give me the birds. Don't make it in Philly. 28, Chiefs 24.
28-24 Eagles.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hey, we see it very similar. I believe the Eagles' running game is going to be clicking early. I think Jalen Hurts makes a few big plays with both his legs and his arms. I think the Eagles jump out to an early kind of 13-3 kind of lead. Same thing. It's tight, but they're in control. I think the Chiefs make some adjustments at halftime. Kelce starts to get open, starts to move the chains. Mahomes uses his legs. We get the score tied at 23-ish, and then a roughing the passer penalty and a defensive holding call allow the Chiefs to move into field goal range late. Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker kicks one through for all the ladies. Chiefs 26, Eagles 23. The women of America are thrilled that Harrison Butker gets to play. The Taylor Swift fans are thrilled. They pick up another one. Chiefs victory by a field goal. Oh, Rob, if it happens, I'm going to throw myself down a flight of stairs. Honest to goodness, it's just going to be so painful, but I'm really scared that's how it's going to go.
Yeah, but either way, I think we get a close game, which is...
I do, too, because Kansas City doesn't blow anybody out.
Right.
So I think we're in for a close game, which... Is there anything worse than the blowout Super Bowl? I mean, you hate to be involved in the tight game because you can't sit still, but you want a good game. We haven't had great postseason games.
True. Yeah. Overall.
A lot of blowouts.
Especially early on. A lot of blowouts here.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think, you know, with these teams, it'll, even if one team goes up, I mean, I think, you know, both teams have the ability to close that distance in the second half. So
for sure.
Should be entertaining throughout, hopefully.
Rob, we started to get it a little bit this weekend. I talked about the top of the show. This last weekend was rough. It was rough. Football is over. Every year, you and I wait and wait and wait for football to start. This last weekend, we had zero football. I didn't watch 1 second of the Pro Bowl. I didn't even turn it on. I watched some college hoop. That was about it. Watched a little bit of NHL. But we're headed into a rough time of year, aren't we?
Yeah, like you said, it was same. Yeah, and that's just no football. It was hard. It was hard, hard weekend to get through. And like I said, after this one, yeah, I guess you slowly make the transition to college basketball. March Madness is coming up. It's probably the next big one, but yeah, it's always tough to kind of refocus there after football.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready for the season to be over, and here we already are. You know, we finished off college football. It went so fast. Now we're almost, you know, to the end of the NFL. This is it. And then we're going to have some really, really dry months of just trying to survive. March Madness is kind of the only thing that keeps it going for a little bit, but it just, it goes too quick. I mean, it'll be March before we know it. And then we're going to be sitting around having to watch Luka wearing Laker gear. My goodness, as though we weren't sick enough as it was. That's going to be absolutely brutal. Yeah. I'm not ready for football to be over. Rob, we may have to have you back here in another couple weeks and kind of do our NFL recap for the season and maybe have a couple of other friends join us, because a lot of interesting things coming. We saw some things coming, you know, happen this year that, you know, every year, teams we didn't expect, teams drop that we didn't expect. And then this coming offseason, we're going to have another wild offseason draft-wise, free agency-wise. You know, news coming out, you know, this week, Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett wants out. Hey, there's a lot of teams. There might not be many teams that wouldn't want him. Right. You know, maybe Philly might be the one team that would be like, nah, we're good. Other than that, I think everybody take that guy. So, yeah, we're going to have some interesting things. We might have to have you come back. Do you have a plan to survive without football? Is there a show you're going to watch? Is there something? How are you getting ready for this?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about it yet. But yeah, that is usually the default. Catch up on all the shows I've missed, you know, all those Sunday night shows that I missed during football season. So yeah, probably just put the list together and binge through a couple of those on Sundays. That'll be my new Sunday activity.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how it's going to be. Hey, I hope we get a great Super Bowl this week. We are going to be doing something a little bit different with the dose for the Super Bowl this year. So, you know, make sure you tune in next week, because I promise I've got something big for you. If you want to come up, Rob, you know, you're welcome to join us. But either way, I want to thank you for all your contributions to the dose. We're going to have you back in another week or two and break down the NFL and what we're looking at going into the offseason. But always good to catch up with you. Always good to talk some football. And we'll be in touch for sure very, very soon as well.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Look forward to it. I'll be on anytime you need me. And go Birds.
Absolutely. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be doing something different. that we have not done before, at least not on this scale. We are going to be bringing you some very real, very live, very unpredictable reactions to whatever happens in Super Bowl 59. Trust me, you will not want to miss it. Be sure you check out The Dose next week, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Big Rob for all of your contributions to The Daily Dose. And believe me, you contribute a ton to The Daily Dose. But I also want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and enjoy Super Bowl 59.
Man, I'm tired of being right.